And being 8 o'clock in the morning, it's always a pleasure to be with you, and thank you for being a part of the program today. And we'll try to get underway with all the things that we have coming up today. And we always have a pleasure of having some time here with our own chief of police, Ryan Canaan. And Ryan just walks in, and he has a cup of coffee, and he's not in uniform today. And, you know, it's interesting. Uniforms are so interesting. I've had some family who were military, and I got very fascinated early on in life about what the insignia meant, and
sure,
you know, what did the big things on the sleeve meant, and the stars and all the stuff, you know. And it's a highly organized part of identifying a society.
And, absolutely.
And when I see you without uniform versus with uniform, I see you differently, no question. Because when you put the uniform on, there's an authority figure now. And without it, you're just like the guy that lives next door. Let's go have some basketball, you know?
That's right. So, we really are. Yeah. Just the men and women next door. And I think, you know, you bring up an excellent point. And, you know, thanks again for having me, Barry. I appreciate it. But, you know, that's the thing about our profession and our job and who we are is we really are the men and women next door, right? I mean, we do come to work. This is a profession. We believe this is a noble profession in what we do. But at the same time, we're the same people that are out there mowing our lawns, you know, coaching our youth sports, going to school at night, just trying to take care of ourselves, sure. You know, health and all that stuff. We're no different. We just have a profession that's
you have a different job, yeah.
You know, and one thing we're kind of looking at when you start looking at there's about 700,000 law enforcement across the country. You know, the population of the United States is about 330 million. And you break that down, it's 2% of the population are law enforcement professionals. It's a very little group of people for what we do.
The change in even your career has been phenomenal. I had a conversation once with Sheriff Bonner. And Sheriff was in the business 30-some years before he retired. And he'd been sheriff, I think, like 13. So he was really on the cutting edge of the changes that occurred that really happened in the late 80s, 90s, and the 2000s. And he told me this great story about his first day on the job. He was given a nightstick,
right,
a revolver, and some ammunition, and a set of handcuffs. And he was assigned to an older sheriff to show him the ropes, and he
sure.
had to work the midnight shift. And he said for 3 months the old guy hardly said a single word to him, sort of like he didn't like me,
right?
And I thought, I'm a nice guy. And of course, if you know Bonner, I mean,
sure,
it takes him 10 minutes to say hello,
right?
And I love that about him. I mean, every time I run into him, it's like the first time I've ever seen the guy. He's that open. So I can imagine for 3 months being stymied by an older officer.
You definitely hear a lot of those stories, sure, about the way it used to be, where, you know, the new officer would get there and the chief or the sheriff would, yeah, slide over a badge, slide over a gun and say, hey, you're working graveyards this weekend.
Yeah.
No training, no yeah. no background, yeah. no anything.
Right. So here we are now, you highly electrified, meaning electronics. You know.
Yes.
A lot of help with computer systems. Vehicles have changed drastically. Your whole communication systems have been changed and have been not done well in some cases, but now have been corrected. So that's been a change and now another change. Even the uniform, you know. I don't know, in my hometown, the chief, Rose, who he was sort of like everybody's grandfather.
Sure.
You did not cross Chief Rose. and yet you loved him and respected him. And he and my father knew each other well. And if you screwed up, there was a conversation. And Chief Rose didn't have to do anything but just sort of look at you. And you know, uh-oh, trouble's coming.
Exactly.
Right? But he was a kind man. And he was the protector of the town. And he took it very seriously. There wasn't a single accident in our town. I don't care, day, night, weekend, that he wasn't there within minutes.
Yeah.
And he always was there to help. He wasn't there just to be the policeman. He was there to help.
Sure.
So I have great admiration for those of you that have chosen that field. I couldn't do it. I couldn't work in your job 10 minutes.
We appreciate the support, Barry. I mean, that's one thing you and I talk about quite often is how much support that, that this community has for law enforcement and for those men and women that are doing those jobs, public safety in its entirety. So, I mean, it's great, you know, coming here, coming to this work every day, finding, just seeing how much support we get from our residents, from our businesses. And, you know, to your point, it's like the job has changed a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's uniforms, whether it's the old tan uniforms that Auburn PD used to wear, you know, morphing into a traditional blue uniform. And then even in the equipment, no vests, no body armor for a long time. And then, you know, as things changed, we made body armor mandatory. I mean, those things have, the danger is out there.
Sure.
You know, and that's the thing is that what we're going to, what we're dealing with, at any chance, you know, at any time, could turn deadly, could turn fatal.
Yes.
So it's making sure that we have the equipment to protect not only ourselves, but our community, right? Those people that we're out there dealing with, we're there to protect them too. And that's why, you know, I think a lot of the discussion about the different types of equipment, what people see versus what they understand. You know, I think anytime we have an opportunity to talk to somebody and explain to them why we have what we have or why it is we do what we do, most people certainly come to an understanding of that and recognize the need for some of this equipment. And yeah, technology, I mean, the computers, drones, we're in the beginning stages of a drone program here.
Good.
Another tool that will help us and help our partner fire department looking for, whether it's people or, you know, be able to fly through the canyon and look for things.
I'm fascinated. As you know, I fly drones. I've been
sure.
I've been a drone flyer for a couple of 3 years now. And to me, it's a flying camera because I'm a picture taker. Mm-hmm. But having it, and I could see immediately how many exciting things it could do to help all of us. Because you don't have the ability, like Superman could, is to get 100 feet in the air and look down at any time. And yet you can do that with these things.
Absolutely.
And you can go in where it's dangerous, and if so, if somebody shoots it out of the air, you get a new drone.
Sure. Know? I mean, that's exactly right. We actually use that. You know, we're kind of testing it out and working through it. And during one of their training programs the other day, I actually got a call of a man on a roof at one of our businesses, and we were able to put the drone up there and check things out.
See what's happening.
And yeah, I mean, it was, nobody was up there, but nevertheless, I mean, that's a tool that, you know, will be extremely helpful as we move forward.
Sure. Oh yeah, no, it's a great tool. Chief, I know about your two programs, and the one you're starting I'm very fascinated with, and that is where you're going to put together a group who will be the so-called advisory group to you and your
yes.
officers. It'll be made up of various business and religious and this and that and everything else. In other words, a cross-section of the community that will give you their points of view of how you are going to do things and go forward. Gives you an opportunity, too, to reverse that. So I understand that. It's a great process, and
yeah.
I commend you for that. Most police, the way I've known them over the years, don't really want a lot of advice. You don't seem to be that kind of guy.
Well, I'm excited for the program. To your point, it's not something that's definitely normal. I think a lot of people ask me why now. And my comment to that is really, there's no better time than now,
yeah.
right? There's no better time
right.
to get the community engaged with what's going on. And my comment earlier was, the more we can educate people, the more we can talk to them about what we are doing and what we are capable of doing, and even some of the things that are hamstringing us. I think as soon as we educate people on that, all of a sudden we have, you know, more understanding. People are more trustworthy of us, right? But I think at the same time, being able to hear from the different cross sections of the community is important. We need to know how we're doing, but we also need to know what do they feel that they need from not just us, but how do we help them get the different resources? A perfect example, you know, again, I talk about our community action team right now that has a focus on the homeless efforts. Well, it's not us giving these resources out. It's us working with those folks who know the resources and are experts in that, things like probation, health and human services. So being able to bring in the different resources to these folks, and, you know, the end goal is to creating more ambassadors for the police department, and hearing from all these different folks and, you know, getting that perspective from their experiences. You know, and that's important.
How many do you have lined up yet? Have you started interviewing, or are you just still at the same point of, hey, come over and play?
Well, I'll be honest. I was a little nervous at first with how many applicants I would be getting, because if you don't remember, the fire chief and I created this Meet the Chiefs program when we both kind of first got here, and it was a monthly meeting, and we ran the first one, and we had 10 people show up or so, half being my family, and then the next month we had one, and then the third month we had nobody.
Okay.
And you know, it's one of those things where it's like, if things are going well, then everybody's like, no, things are going well, I don't need to go to this meeting. So I was a little worried that how many people we would get.
Right.
But over the weekend, I got a number of, you know, up to double-digit applications thus
Good.
Far.
Glad to hear that.
So I'm hoping that we'll continue to get some more.
Now, that doesn't surprise me, and for several reasons. One, I've been in this town now close to 30 years. Secondly, is that I've been a Rotarian for almost 65 years. And the people in that organization, by their very nature, they wake up every morning and they want to be involved, and they
Yes.
want you to listen to them, and they want to contribute, and they'd listen to you. So I've grown up with that environment. So I'm not surprised about this one, because you've got a lot of these people that are on all kinds of advisories in the town,
Yep.
like going to meddlers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so this town is a very active town, and it's fun. I'll just make one single point. Cindy Gustafson, who is a supervisor, is at Meddler's last week. And Tom Dwelly from up at the airport says to her, Cindy, there is a situation out here on Bell Road.
Right.
And you know, I thought I would just pass that along to you. Now, I can go out there and clean it up, but frankly, with the speeds out there, I'm afraid I'm going to get killed. And she said, I'll take care of it. No problem.
Yep.
I'll take care of it. Now, that's involvement.
Yes,
now,
it is.
Now, he wasn't just a complainer. He was, I'm concerned about the way Bell Road has this problem. Can you help us out?
Sure.
And then her reaction was, absolutely. And I'll bet you there was a truck out there fixing that problem within 2 hours.
Probably. Quick.
Now, isn't that the way every community should work? The answer is yes.
Well, of course. You know, and that's the thing. Yes, you know, we just need to listen to each other to understand,
right?
As opposed to listening to respond, or, you know, just again, we're all allowed to have our own opinions and beliefs and those things. That's the beauty of the country.
What you're not allowed to have, though, is an opinion where you turn nasty if you do not agree with me.
Exactly.
That's what we don't have a lot of here, which
yes.
I'm glad. But nationally.
Yep,
I'm not happy with that point.
No, but I think here, to your point, we have a very engaged community, very engaged. I mean, that's one of the things I really do appreciate about being up here, and that's one of the things I found as soon as I got up here. You know, it's the community wants to see that interaction back and forth.
Right.
And one of the first things, you know, when I got up here and I found out, hey, we're doing a lot of the good stuff, a lot of these things are happening and we're doing well, and, you know, I had some community members say, you know, that's not, you know, no, we don't. You know, it's you're not doing these things well and whatnot. And I asked, I'm like, well, what makes you think we're not doing it well or other people are doing it better? They're like, well, we just don't see it. I'm like, well, explain further, right? And so it actually came down, well, we don't see you guys on Facebook the way we see other agencies. It's like, okay. I mean, that's no big deal. I can
Fair
fix
point.
That, right?
Fair
it's,
point.
To your point.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those things where it's like, hey, here's the information. Here's what we're doing. We're showing what we're doing. We're not hiding it. We're not anything else. And as soon as we did that, you know, we gained a whole lot more fans
sure.
and supporters that way.
Well, that's where it's all going. You know, we broadcasters, we watch this stuff all the time. And when Facebook started, I kind of poo-pooed it.
Sure.
But it didn't take too long to figure out that there was an entire generation that was going to grow up like I did with pinball machines. It's going to change the face of the earth. And I could predict that. Now, I didn't become involved for a long time. Until I started to realize that there's more listeners that I have on Facebook than I do right here at 104.5.
Sure.
That's crazy, because 104.5 blankets 700,000-800,000 people. I go on the internet and I'm talking to several million people.
Sure.
And after an analysis one day, we all discussed it here in the radio station. We decided, hey, we better become part of this, because if we don't, then we may be going downstream in what is very definitely a tidal wave. So when you wind up with that, now I rely on you to be on Facebook. I rely the sheriff to be on Facebook. Because if not, where do I get it? Do I call all these agencies every day? Frankly, no, don't have time. But since they have adopted it, you've adopted, everybody else has adopted, we now use you as a direct response source. And that's important because I can quote you. You can even go on camera and you can be, you know, Mr. Television for 4 minutes and discuss anything. I'll pick it up and put it on the air. And so we're doing that, and that's all part of what I call communication. Because my profession says our job is to get as much legal and honest information out to the general public. So I really admire what you're doing. So when do you start this thing? I mean, you're going to start having meetings pretty soon?
The goal, if I can bring everybody together before, but at the right now the goal is by January.
January.
So good. We'll have meetings. Right now the meetings will be scheduled the third Thursday of every month, starting in January. But again, if I'm able to get some people together before that, fill the all the seats, then we'll kick it off sooner. We'll probably get people together and kind of do some of the intros, the meet and greets and whatnot between now and then, and just get everybody on the same page. But I'm excited for it. I've had some other people reach out, just want to know more about it. Again, it's an opportunity to, this first group probably helped me craft and, mold this program.
Make
moving
them a part
forward.
Of it. Yeah,
absolutely. And, again, I want to hear, like I said, I'm excited for the applications I got so far. Pretty good cross-section of people. Some names that, some people I know before now and new names, and which I'm excited for the new names because it's part of the community.
You're tapping a group that's not now tapped, maybe.
We don't necessarily have that direct line of communication with. So I'm excited for that. The other thing, the other program is what we're calling our neighborhood officer program. So I think you and I may have talked about it before, but it's one of those things where the city, it's kind of perfect size for this. Excuse me. We have about what we call 19 reporting districts. So the city is broken up, 7.5 square miles now will be broken up into 19 districts. And now we have officers, our patrol officers will be assigned to 2 districts each. So
cool.
The big part of this one, though, is getting the information out nextdoor.com. So if you aren't part of nextdoor.com in your neighborhood, sign up for it. That's how the officers are doing their communication back and forth. Again, reach out, check out nextdoor.com in your area.
Chief, we're out of time. I always enjoy our time goes by fast, and I really admire what you're doing. We want to help support that. So good luck to all this stuff, and enjoy it, and have a great couple of weeks, and I'll see you.
Thanks. You too. See you in a couple weeks.
We won't be past the election yet, but I'm sure anxious to do that.
I'm sure. Yes, sir.
All right.